This morning, I really just want us to pray, but I will share a scripture before we pray. You know, every now and then when we say miracle service, I hope you know that's also another opportunity to pray. Because the God who is the miracle-working God is the prayer-answering God. The God who does miracles is the God that answers prayers. So that means that every now and then, if I need a miracle, if you need a miracle, one of the vehicles we climb and we walk with is prayer. And that is why, as a child of God, one of the things you do well to do for yourself is to have an active prayer altar. You know, it is good to pray with other people, but it's very good to pray with yourself. There is a dimension of what God wants to do that, you know, relates to others. But there's a bigger dimension that is you and him. And this morning, we want to spend some little time to take care of some business in God. Maybe I'm still talking along the lines of this, our season of summer. It's a little departure, but you can still connect it. I want to talk about what I call Mount Zion realities. Mount Zion realities. Mount Zion realities. One of the words you will see again and again in scripture is mountain and mount. And mountain, you know, there are literal, you know, views to it. But there are also symbolic views to mountains. One of the symbolic views of mountain is that mountain is a place where you climb. A mountain is a platform that seemingly there is an encounter with the divine. So every now and then you hear of Mount Sinai. You remember? Mount Sinai. That was where Moses downloaded the Ten Commandments. The other time also you hear of Mount Carmel. That was where Elijah downloaded the fire. So somehow it looks like on mounts or mountains, people are downloading something. And let me tell you the truth. It is no more physical mount, but the mount is still very valid in our system and in our dispensation. So there is a way to get to Mount Zion. There is a way to get to another mountain. And the mountain that you and I need to be climbing now is the mountain called Mount Zion. And so there are realities in Mount Zion. And so the Bible speaking in Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 17. Obadiah has only one chapter. So some people, you hear them say Obadiah 17 because it's just one chapter. This verse starts with a but. The but means that there was a conversation that was going on before. And it feels like if you look at the conversation, you can almost put it into what is happening now, in that there are issues and there are things going on. And God has always been, even at that time, a God of exemption, as he is a God of exemption today. Then the Bible says in verse 17 of Obadiah 1, it says, but on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. I hope you know that you are part of that house of Jacob. By the house of Jacob, he's saying Israel, and you are the Israel of God. So that means that you can possess your possession. I want you to say it loud and clear. Say, I can possess and I will possess my possession in God, in the name of Jesus. Let me read the New Testament counterpart of that scripture, because somebody may be saying that, well, Mount Zion is an Old Testament reality. No, it's still really New Testament. Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Read down words, Hebrews 12, 22. The Bible says, but you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Verse 23. To the general assembly. So when we come to the general assembly. And what is the general assembly? It is the ecclesia, the called out one. When we come to the general assembly, we have come to Mount Zion. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn. Who is the firstborn? Jesus. When you come to the church of Jesus, which is this church, because Jesus is the head of this church, you have come to Mount Zion, which are written in heaven and God and to God. So when we come to Mount Zion, he now begins to talk about some realities. When we come to this general assembly, when we come together as the church of Jesus, we are not just coming alone. You know, when we are singing that song, we are not alone. We are surrounded. We have more around us than what is against us. There is more for us than what is against us. The only challenge we have is consciousness. We don't have the consciousness of what is available. And that is the only thing I want to do before we pray this morning, to just bring to your awareness that there is something that Mount Zion presents. There is something that is available at Mount Zion. He says, you have come to the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all. So every time you come to Mount Zion, you have come to the judge. You have come to someone where you can present your case, where you can bring your case. So every now and then, when we come to Mount Zion, one of the things we should do is present cases. That is why prayer is very in order. In fact, there should be a lot of prayer when you come to Mount Zion. And sometimes some people want to have one and have too many of one, especially praise. I'm for praising God and for celebrating God and dancing and all of that. There's a place for that, you know. That's why we do Tehillah 24 hours. And then we now come back and balance it with NICOs so that there's a balance, you know. But when you come to God, understand that he's a judge. And in Luke chapter 18 from verse 1, the Bible says that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then to explain that prayer endeavor, the Bible said he began to talk about the judge. Because he wanted us to understand that prayer is like going to a judge. And the Bible says in Mount Zion, people will meet with the judge. So if you are meeting with the judge, what are you meeting the judge with? Some people they will come to Mount Zion and they want to meet the judge with complaints. They want to complain about what is not working. They want to complain about another person. They want to say, well, if this was not the Trump era, if this was Obama era, this is the Trump era. So what are we going to do about it? God already knows that this is going to be the Trump era. In fact, do you know that he knew before even Trump knew that there would be a Trump era? So God is not unaware and he's not caught unaware and thinking, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? Maybe we have to take him now away from this place. No, he's able to still do what he wants to do even here, because he says, but on Mount Zion there shall be some possibilities, there will be some realities. I don't know what is happening in White House, but on Mount Zion. And who are the people in Mount Zion? Let's look at the occupants again. In verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 12, it says God is there, and God is not there as just father, he's there as judge, he's there as the one that sits upon the case. So if I have a legal matter, whether it's literally legal, like human court, I can bring it before God. You know, sometimes when people have issues, they want to take it to every other place, but sometimes God, because they feel like, that's not a church issue. This is something I need to sit down with a lawyer. But the Bible says when you are come to Mount Zion, there is the God who is the judge there. And this judge is the judge before any other judge. If this judge adjudicates a case in your favor, there is no human judge that can say it's not so. I have seen this happen a lot of times. When lawyer will speak as if the devil employed them, and then they will be giving me counsel. And I know that you have to give us the full disclosure. You have to say everything. This thing is very difficult. I understand all those kind of stuff. But excuse me, after you have said everything, but I will do my job. They will now say, there's nothing that can be done. Don't say that one. That conclusion is not, you don't make those kind of conclusions. No. You know, I still remember as I stand here this morning, that lawyer many years ago told my wife, he's made this conclusion. She's going to go back, that they will take her children. I say, excuse me. I understand that you have complication with this legal case. But which one is this conversation and this conclusion? They will take her children. You've seen that already? Come on, don't do that. I told him, I said, if you cannot do it, say you can't do it. Let's move on. Because there is somebody who will at least have small faith to do it. And that's what happened. In fact, when they approved this thing, one of the first people I sent it is to him. Say, I just sent it to him that it has been granted. Sila, you know those kind of things. Let it sink in. Because this one that you have, you now started doing PR for Satan. No, don't do that. Because when I come to Mount Zion, I can meet with another judge. And if I have met with that judge, even if I have not met with a physical judge, I can know the verdict and I can walk as if the verdict is true. Because if he gives me the verdict, if I go out, nobody can change that verdict. You have come to Mount Zion. God, who is the judge. And to the spirits of just men be perfect. That means when we come to Mount Zion, there are spirits. And the spirit is just men. That means that it is possible that as we open Obadiah, even Obadiah too is there. Oh yeah. Paul is there. Oh, Pastor E, what are you saying? Are you talking about spiritism and some of this new age? No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm saying there are realities in our congregation beyond the physical. You remember that Jesus at a mount, you remember? Mount of Transfiguration. When he was on that mount, just to prove that there are realities at Mount Zion, the Bible said, as he was what? Talking to the judge and praying, because at Mount Zion, one of the biggest things you can do is to offer prayers. As he was praying, the Bible says his countenance was altered, and there appeared with him who? Elijah. And who? Moses. Consistent with this scripture, the spirit of just men made perfect. There are some times when we are singing, we are not the only one singing. And when we are worshiping, we are not the only one worshiping. There are other chorus, backup vocalists that have joined our songs. Be conscious of it. There are realities beyond physical at Mount Zion. It says Jesus is there. There are just men that are made perfect there. Verse 24 says, and Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Jesus too is there. Jesus is there. You know, I love what the reality of Mount Zion present. God is the judge. Jesus is the lawyer. How can you lose? God is the one who will adjudicate the case and will say, this is my judgment. Jesus is your own mediator, who is going to present the case to the Father. Who knows the law? Who knows the word? Because he himself is the law. He himself is the word. So the word will take the word to the judge. How can you now lose that kind of case? When we come to Mount Zion, we have Jesus there. And the Bible says there are other speaking entities, you know, that we didn't know that used to speak before. We just thought they were just random stuff. And the Bible says, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So let's contrast this again with that, Obadiah chapter 1 verse 17. But upon Mount Zion, there shall be what? Deliverance. Why is there need for deliverance? The reason there is need for deliverance is that there are some bloods that are speaking negatively. There are some other voices. There are some other sounds that are negative. That is why there is the sprinkling blood of Jesus that will contrast and negate the blood of Abel. So when we come to Mount Zion, one of the things we do is that we take care of business. Let me look at some of the things he mentioned as realities in Mount Zion. Okay? A major part of the growth of any child of God, especially into sonship, is what we see or what we call fellowship. Because Mount Zion really is possible in an atmosphere of fellowship. It doesn't have to be that you come to 4350, 4352 West Parker to be in Mount Zion. But it has to kind of be in a fellowship. A fellowship, a sharing together, an association with other people. Is sharing together. In fact, that word fellowship, as written in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that word fellowship is the word koinonia. It's the same word when the Bible was speaking in, is this 2 Corinthians 13, 14 now, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship, the koinonia of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So that means that it is fellowship has something that he gives to us. Fellowship with God, with the Holy Spirit, but fellowship with one another. That is why the Bible in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, do not forget the gathering together of one another, or do not forget the fellowship of brothers. Do not forget the coming together, because there is something in fellowship. When you come together, there is something you will gain. You know, most times when people come, they always think that where what they will get comes from is from here. But there are sometimes what they will get will come from that person that is sitting near them. What they will get will be something that is from outside. Sometimes people have come in, it is what they wrote on the dashboard or this thing that the ushers have out there. Sometimes it is what was written on the offering envelope. It is what was written in the new book that they gave them from Victory House. It is the way somebody shook them. It's the question somebody asked them after service. What God is trying to make us understand is that in the coming to Zion, there are many advantages there. I have shown you these emissaries or the spiritual entities that gather in Zion. But let me tell you the truth. Even this spirit of a just man, not yet made perfect, this man that is standing by your side, this woman that is standing, that man, you can also gain something from there. There is a sharing. There is a thing that can happen from there. That is why one of the things you should not do to yourself is to avoid fellowship with brothers. Every now and then, when you have opportunity to fellowship, come. Every now and then, when you have opportunity to be in the midst of people of God, come. Yes, are there issues with this whole fellowship thing we do with other people? Yes, I know. There are issues. In fellowship is when people will get into your own business. And I know some of us, I just want to do my own business. I don't want people to get into my own business. But let me tell you, it is good for others to get into your own business. When people are in your business, yes, there's troubles that can be there. Pastor Yossi already gave us a prophecy that if the trouble is there, God is using it to what? To forge you. Amen? So if I enter into fellowship, and because of the fellowship, there are some question mark, and I'm like, what? How did I get myself into all this kind of thing? That somebody is saying something about me, somebody is this, somebody that. It is better than to be alone. You know, when God said, it is not good for man to be alone, most times we see it in the context of marriage. It is never good for man to be alone anywhere. A lone ranger is a dangerous person. A lone ranger is an endangered species. You're already dead before you know it. Woe to him that is alone. You remember we sang that song? I'm not alone. I have company. I want to have a company that is not earthly, but you also need earthly company. You also need fellowship. Because Mount Zion doesn't happen unless there is fellowship. In fact, many people don't know that there are some things in scripture that is only placed in the midst of fellowship. There are some commanded blessings. There are some things that happen because we gather together. There are some graces that is released because we gather together. You know, I preach, and I've been around preachers for almost all my life. And I can tell you, there is something called corporate anointing. There is something that comes upon a man for an assignment within a context like this. If you go and meet him outside of there, it's not there again. I have said some things to people here before while I'm ministering today. And they come to me and I say, you said this. I said, really? Did I say that in my head? I'm now calculating that. I hope what I just said to this person, I'm not. What's going to happen? You know, because my natural me now kicks in. But while I was ministering, something came on me and I was ministering. That is why if you have opportunity to meet a man of God, meet him when he's ministering. Oh, yeah. Don't just say, I need to book a special appointment. There's a place for that. But let me tell you the truth. There is a grace that happens or that comes on people while they are in the company of other people. Remember the story of Saul. The Bible said when Saul got in the company of prophets, Saul began to prophesy. And he prophesied because of that company. It is not because he became a prophet. It is the atmosphere that he found himself. So atmosphere matters. So when we come together, it's a big deal. In fact, the Bible says in Psalm 133, he said, behold, how good and perfect is it for brothers to dwell together in unity. If I will use the word that I'm trying to push this morning, fellowship. If brothers are in fellowship, the Bible says, how good and perfect is it? It said, in that place, that communion, that union, that fellowship, it's like the anointing flowing from the head of Aaron. It will touch everybody. It will get down to the skirt. It says it's like the anointing. It will touch his beard. It will touch his skirt. It will get down. And he now said, it's not just the anointing flowing. He said, there is a commanded blessing there. There is a blessing that is in this fellowship. So I'm saying to you this morning that our coming together is already blessed. So when you come into the house, even if nobody tells you today is the day the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it and you will be blessed and all of that in it, even if those kind of words don't come out, I want you to understand that when you come together, one of the realities that coming together does to us, when we fellowship together in God, we have commanded blessing. And I can say this morning that there is a commanded blessing in this house, and I release it in your way. I release it in your way in the name of Jesus. Before I get to deliverance, let me look at two things that the Bible said in that scripture that is possible at Mount Zion. It said there is holiness. There is holiness. That he might sanctify her by the washing of the water of the word. There is holiness. The word holiness sometimes usually throws people off. And some people in 2025 want to say there's no even need for that. Because why? When you give your life to Christ, you become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Which is true. So righteousness is a status. Or righteousness starts at a status, because there are also fruits of righteousness, but that's not where we're going this morning. So righteousness is a status that is conferred. So you get a new nature, seemingly so, with righteousness. But holiness is a nurture. It's something that has to be nurtured, and the fruits of righteousness, when they begin to find expression in it, that is holiness. And let me tell you the truth. When you come to Mount Zion, one of the things God wants to do with you, he doesn't want to leave you the way you came. Simply, that's what that scripture is saying. When you come to Mount Zion, if you come with a limitation, if you come with, this is the way I used to do it before, he wants to take care of it so that you will mature into son. Because every son has to have dropped some things along the way. You are not a son if you are still behaving like a baby. If there are baby things that you are still doing. And baby in our spiritual walk is carnality. The babies, the baby Christians are the carnal Christians. They are still the ones still very entrenched in the flesh. The flesh controls everything. Everything they do. What they say, how they say it, where they go, what they watch. Everything is governed by the flesh. And if you are a son, you have to be led. Not by the flesh, but by the Spirit. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. As many as are led by any other thing apart from the Spirit of God, they are not sons of God. So in Mount Zion, one of the realities is that sons emerge. How do they emerge? That nature of righteousness is nurtured and it becomes what we call holiness. Let me say the truth. It is holiness that will make people know that you know Jesus. They may not know because you have a status of righteousness. They will not know that. It is the outward. It is what they do. It is what they see. It is the Galatians chapter 5 verse 22 thing. It is the fruit of the Spirit that shows that this person has met Jesus. When they called them Christians the first time, it was not because of any label or any status. It was not because they were justified. It was because they saw their actions. Yes, we are not saved by actions. But when we are saved and we allow Mount Zion realities to affect us, it will affect our actions. Don't be saying that, well, it's not about my works, it's not about my action. It is still about it somehow. Because we can know the fruit. We can know the tree. By what? By its fruit. Don't judge me. No. Jesus did not say we should judge you. He just said that when we get to a tree, we should expect something. We are not judging you. We are just expectant. When we come to your tree, we are expectant that if indeed you said you are planted in the courts of our God, you should bear fruit. Because where you grow roots downward in the courts of our God, there should be some kind of fruit. So if there are things that you are struggling with, when you come to Mount Zion, understand that there is power. Because you see this holiness that you see here, it's not just holiness that just happens by, I will not do it, I will not do it, I will not do it. Say it 50 times. Because some people think that's how it happens. I will not do it, I will not do it, I will not do it, I will not do it. And after you finish saying, I will not do it, you will not do it. It's not willpower. It's not something you decide to do in your own strength. It is something that he helps you to do. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit that is holy, is the one that will empower you. Is the one that will carry you. Is the one that will enable you. And there are people listening to me this morning. The Spirit of God will carry you. It will enable you. It will support you. In the name of Jesus. When the Bible is speaking in Romans chapter 1, verse 4, it says, and Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to what? The Spirit of holiness. There is a spirit of holiness. When we come to Mount Zion, that spirit is available. The reason it is not working for many people is they are not conscious. They are not conscious of present realities of Mount Zion, that this fellowship has something in it that you will bring a habit in and you won't take that habit with you. Some of us can testify to that. We used to do some things and we do them no more. You know, there was one song that somebody sang many years ago. The things I used to do, I do them no more. And I hope for you, the things, especially evil things you used to do, you do them no more. And if you are still doing them, there is grace to do them no more. In the name of Jesus. So he says there is holiness there. He says there is possessing of possession there. Possessing of possession. You see, if there is anything you need to know about the devil, is that the devil is bad every day. The devil is a bad devil. And there's no good thing about him. And the devil is a lawless devil. Remember that at Mount Zion, we have come to court. One of the things we bring there in that court is to bring cases of infringement of rights. So that's why the Bible said there are possessing of, there are dispossessions that have happened. But when you come to Mount Zion and you stand before the judge, you have to present some cases of dispossession. I was dispossessed of my health. I was dispossessed. Jesus bore my iniquity. This thing is mine, but I don't have it. You know, it is this part that some people have mixed up. They'll say, well, once you come to Christ, everything is available. Yes. But there is a bad devil. There is dispossessing of possession. That is why when Jacob comes, Jacob will not say it will happen if it will happen. No, Jacob will understand that it is my possession and I will not let the devil go. There are some people in this morning service, before we close, I know my time has, and by the way, it's not me that is preaching long. It's the people that give the testimony long. Can somebody say amen? So, I'm looking at my time. I still have time. It's the testimony, people. But I'll cut it short in righteousness. The devil dispossesses people. He dispossesses people. He dispossesses people of jobs. He dispossesses people of houses. But it's your inheritance. When you read it from the word, when you read it from the constitution, when you know it from the will of God, and you don't see it in your life, it is time to now say, I enforce my possession. God needs many more enforcers to rise. There are too many of us, we are watchers. We are not, and that watch is not watching in prayer. We are just watching to see and wait and see. But God is saying, stop being a watcher. Just don't be watching life happening to you. Be an enforcer. Enforce life. If Jabez was just watching life and say, I heard that it was said that I will be honorable. I got a prophecy last year that you'll be honorable. Honorable. No. There was one day he said enough is enough. That's why we come to the place of prayer. That's why we come to the events like the 10 hours prayer. Why? Because we understand that there are some possession that will not be possessed without enforcement. I've interacted a little bit with the real estate laws sometimes here in America. And I know that if somebody is your tenant and the person is not paying, you can't just come, like in some part of the world, and change the locks. Or just come and take their things out and put it in the middle of the way. No, you can't do that. You go to the judge. And then you tell the judge. And then they give them an eviction order. But you see, that even that eviction, that order, that, okay, you have now been evicted from this house. You don't have right to the, some people don't follow it. So a sheriff has to go and enforce this. I'm saying at Mount Zion, you are supposed to be a sheriff. You should go and enforce the eviction order. The one that God gave you when Jesus rose from the dead. That eviction order, you should go and say, excuse me, why are you still in this house? Now, while I'm watching you, get out of here now. You insist, you resist in the words of scripture. And the Bible says the devil will flee. I decree and declare that I am insisting on your behalf that everything that was stolen, the possession that belonged to you, that you begin to walk into them in the name of Jesus. possess your possession in the name of Jesus. Then the Bible now finishes and says, at Mount Zion there is deliverance. If you read in Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, the Bible says, Christ has delivered us from the kingdom of darkness and put us in the kingdom of his dear son. There are dimensions to deliverance when it concerns the believers. And this has created a lot of, you know, talking points in the body of Christ. Does a believer need deliverance? Because if Colossians chapter 1 verse 13 is true, he has delivered from the kingdom of darkness and put us into the kingdom of his dear son. It is true. So what am I being delivered from again? What is happening? Why should I take some things out? Go back again to the second Mount Zion that we saw in Hebrews chapter 12. The reason that God is still standing as a judge for the people that seemingly have left every legal hold is because the devil doesn't play fair. The only thing, just like with Job, that the devil can't necessarily still do, even to a believer, is to touch your life. So your spirit is the place that is in no holds barred. But let me tell you the truth. If you are still wearing this mortal body, it may still touch your body. If you are still wearing this mortal body, it may still be messing up with your mind. You know, the scripture even told us in Romans chapter 12. It says, be transformed by the renewing, like continuous thing. You won't do it once and for all. Why? Because if you are not transformed, you'll be conformed. So the devil will still say, look, even if you are on the Lord's side, I still want to do something with you. And that is why sometimes some things some people are going through is not a counseling thing. There is a sponsorship. There is something that is sponsoring the thing. There are behaviors that are not counseling issues. Because if you look at the way this behavior is, it is consistent. There is a pattern. When you begin to see evil patterns, I think you should ask questions. And that's why the Bible says, when I come to Mount Zion and I see an evil pattern before I came to Mount Zion, I will tell myself, there is deliverance in Mount Zion. I'm not going to carry this evil pattern again. I'm not just going to be watching it. It happened to my father. It happened to my mother. I'm not just going to try to prevent it in the natural. Because let me tell you, if there is a sponsorship to it, they can create a new scenario. There are many scenarios to get you to the same point. There are many scenarios if there is a sponsorship to it. Pastor Tuesday was telling us of the patriarchs. There was a sponsorship, so to say. And the sponsorship was trying to stop the seed of the woman. Remember, in Genesis chapter 3, God said, the seed of the woman is going to bruise the head of Satan. And so, anytime Satan sees somebody that seemed to be carrying something, he is now looking, is this guy going to be the one that is going to bear the seed? He's trying to stop them from conceiving. Why? If they don't conceive, they will not have the seed. They will not be bruising of the head. So, the attack is because of the promise. So, when God has promised something, the devil is looking for every loophole to stop it. And that's when we see patterns, we don't just say, well, you know, it's in Africa that people deal with those kind of things. I can tell you stories. We don't have time. I can tell you stories. We don't have time. Of people, they have no African connection. So there's no African voodoo. In fact, if you can get lay hands on this book, it was written by a Caucasian woman, Rebecca Brown. It came to set the captives free. You will be shocked. You'll be shocked what happens in some places called hospital. You're just like, that's African magic. It's in the Nigeria, something, something. Be plain. Evil is real. Evil is very, very real. And there are some patterns that cannot be ignored. There are some patterns. And sometimes even when you find yourself in God, if you have noticed patterns, stop it. I remember before I got married, I had seen a pattern. Many people in my life, in fact, I don't know anybody that is like my uncle or family member that doesn't have pastor before their name. I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody somewhere, but I don't remember right now. Or I don't usually remember because there are not many. So we are a kingdom of priests, but I saw some patterns. I saw some patterns. I saw some things. And I looked at some of my cousins. I saw some things. I said, no, this must stop. Because when it comes to deliverance, most of the time why people are not delivered is not because deliverance is not available. It's because somebody that needs that deliverance has not come to their breaking point. They have not come to their enough is enough. They have not come to that this has to stop now. They have not come to realize that this thing is being sponsored. Because one of the ways the devil perpetrates what he's doing in people's life is to make them ignore it. Either they don't know about it, or they know it and they look away. It's nothing, Jerry. No, it's just anger. It's just normal anger now. When people are annoying me, I just get angry and I break things. And that's just how we do it in our family. It's not how everybody does it, though. It is not what happened to you that is making you angry. There's something sponsoring this thing. And this thing wants to finish you. And if you don't deal with it now, the day it will show up, we may not know what it will spoil. Look at Moses, sir. Look at Moses. This anger showed up when he was 40. It was what sent him on exile. I don't know if Moses needed to start ministry at 80. I don't know. No, scripture said that. That he was supposed to start ministry at 40. Maybe if he started at 80. Maybe if he started at 60 or 45. Those people that say we can't go into the land, they won't be able to say it. Because some people that are young, they will still be young then. They would have gone with them. And the spies, even though they are still 12, they will be 12 solid men. And they will not come and tell the people and say, we can't go there. And give them 40 years long distance kind of something. And then the same anger that threw him out of Egypt didn't let him enter the promised land. Because he didn't deal with it. And the Bible says he's the meekest man. So there are realities that are available in Mount Zion. If you have found patterns of sickness, patterns of behavioral patterns. We are like this in our family. My father, when he was so age, this happened to him. My grandfather, so age, this happened. Those kind of patterns, at least, I'm not saying all of them are demonic or all of them are sponsored by some evil altars. I'm just saying at least probe it. At least probe it. At least today, when I tell you to speak to bloodline limitations, at least do something about it. You see, some people, they don't understand that it is better to prevent things than to be curing. It is better to take care of matter before you need to take care of it. I know people that used to say, it is good to pray so that you will not pray. If you don't understand that, may you not understand it. Because there are matters that you will pray out. So it is good to deal. It is good to deal with issues now. So when I ask you to pray, I want you to understand that there are patterns that can be taken care of. When we come to Mount Zion, God can change those patterns. The reason why Jacob, the house of Jacob, we possess their possession is because Jacob stood up and said, enough is enough. It's because Jacob said, I won't let you go unless you bless me. There are too many of us, they are too casual about life. If you are casual about life, life will be casual to you. Life responds sometimes with the measure with which you bring to it. That's what Jesus was saying in Luke 6:38. Not necessarily about offering. He was saying the same measure, the input will determine the output. The seriousness you put with your life, the seriousness you bring to Mount Zion, that's what you will see. Because there are realities. In this Mount Zion, there are companies. There are, as I'm talking about Obadiah is here to say, he's saying the truth. Oh. But there are some people that say, well, Obadiah, we don't even, who bears Obadiah in 2025? Forget about it. We're just talking about some good things and, you know, this is America. Stop saying all of that. Praise God for your life. But I'm telling you that on Mount Zion, there is deliverance. And one of the tools of deliverance, we see it in the other Mount Zion in Hebrews chapter 12. He said there is the blood of sprinkling. That blood, the first thing, is, the first encounter you should have with that blood is that you let that blood wash your sins away. But I want to tell you that the blood washes more than sin. The blood can speak. You can put the blood on a child. That blood will speak. You can put the blood on a document. That blood will speak. You can put the blood on your house. That blood will speak. You know, some of us, our house, if somebody comes in the natural, you just see that it's just random house. But you come and try and enter from another dimension. That's when you will know that that house is guarded. There are angels on guard. I grew up in a place where they will say, be aware. dogs inside or something like that. I want to tell you that you can put the blood and there will be that blood will be speaking. It will speak better things. In fact, that blood will speak consistent with what it needs to speak. When there is vengeance being asked, that blood will say no more vengeance. When there is limitation being suggested, that blood will say no. You can't stop them here. Let them move further. That blood can speak. And so this morning at Mount Zion, we want to get holiness. We want to get possession. And we want to experience deliverance in the name of Jesus. I want you to be on your feet. You give me a few minutes. We are going to process this Mount Zion realities in a few minutes. If you can pray in the spirit, go ahead. Let your Mount Zion experience begin from there. The Bible said there are spirits. The Bible said Jesus is here. The Bible says God himself is here. There are angels here. There are angels here. Oh, when we pray, we are not alone. When we stand here, we are not standing alone. You are too quiet for my liking. You need to push it. Press it. Enough is enough. What was wrong with my dad? That sickness in our own house, all of us, we always have this kind of sickness. No. It's not happening again with me. So that's as I'm praying, I'm generating energy, I'm building up myself on my most holy faith. If you are not born again, you need to experience the blood. Ask that the blood that washes all sins, that blood will be effective for you right now in the name of the Lord. Rapekopeleanata rantelebelebelekeleto rushepelia debelekoti rishe debeteperitada lata ekale mateletehi izeriteli belekoti mama mandelebeshe. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Give me Psalm 68 verse 20. You can do another translation, maybe amplified. Psalm 68 verse 20. God of deliverances. Shepakadada. Zebarodukalada. It says our God is to us a God of deliverances. It's a God of deliverances. Some translations say it's a God of escape. There are people that need an escape. They are in something they need to be escaped. They need to be yanked out of it. The way the progression is, they are soon going to get to a major limitation. But there needs to be an escape. That is why God to us is God of deliverances, not one deliverance. One deliverance happened at salvation, but that's not the only deliverance. There are many people that have had the salvation, give my life to Christ kind of deliverance, but there are other deliverances. There are other things that are still troubling some people listening to me this morning, and those things have to bow in the name of Jesus. He said, God is the God of deliverances and salvation, and to God, to the Lord, belongs escape from death. So there is escape from death. I don't know what is limiting you, but I want you to declare, I have an escape in the name of Jesus. This morning, I enjoy an escape. I escape from the family line, from the bloodline limitation. If you have identified any limitation in your marriage, concerning your marital journey, everybody that you know in your family, they were delayed. Why don't you exempt yourself? Go ahead. There is an escape. There is an escape. La rapa papakata. Rebekete belekedea. At Mount Zion, there will be those that will escape. Enata payaga. I am at Mount Zion this morning, and I enjoy an escape. Rato skepe to ruta. Ingara paridelebelele. Oh, an escape. An escape. An escape. An escape. Ikaya payadada. We have escaped from the noisome pestilence, from the snare of the fowler. Oh,
Jesus. Yes, escape. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we are free.